Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and we're going to go straight to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He's one of one, the greatest defensive line coach ever, the legendary Pete Jenkins. Pete, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, Mike.
Pete, I got to ask you, because I know you are close, but tell people a little bit about the new defensive line coaches at LSU. Kevin Peoples, most people know about Kyle Williams, great career at LSU and certainly with the Buffalo Bills, and now coaching the interior of LSU's defensive line. Kevin Peoples comes in from Missouri, and you didn't have a direct connection with Kevin. I think you had it through Bo Davis. But
No, actually, Mike, I've been knowing Kevin. I started working with Kevin in 2010.
Okay.
He was at Arkansas State, and they brought me to Arkansas State. I knew the coordinator. They brought me to Arkansas State, and I met Kevin at that time. I believe it was 2010, I believe it was.
Okay.
And we have really been really close friends since that time, Mike. So I go way back with Kevin, and I'm so proud of what he's done and what he's accomplished. I kind of, you know, I saw that kind of potential in him when I first met him. He's quiet. He's not too quiet, but he's quiet, and he's a really good listener. And I'm telling you, Mike, he does a really good job with his players. Everywhere he's been, he has really done a fine job. So I'm really proud of Kevin. I was so delighted when he came here. He was one that I recommended to Coach Kelly, and I knew they would hit it off, and I knew he'd be very good. And then, of course, Bo, you know, was the other one that Coach Kelly got, but, you know, one moved on to the Saints. Now, Kyle, I recruited Kyle, Mike, and I don't know that I've ever seen a more competitive player than Kyle, both in college and in the NFL. When he came out, I was at the Eagles when he came out. Mike, I begged them to take him. I mean, I pleaded with them to take him. I said, you guys, and they said, well, he's short, and and they said, hey, Pete, you think all these LSU guys are the best in the world? I said, well, I'm going to just tell you, you don't know what's beating in that guy's chest. So I'm not familiar with his coaching, but I can tell you this. He is a person. He is first-class guy, and as a competitor, he's beyond most anybody I've ever known. So they're in good shape, and I just heard a gentleman say on the radio talking to Mike there that I forget the guy's name at LSU. He was talking about the depth. It sure did sound good to me.
It sure did. Now, you and I talked about this, and you were like, Mike, I agree with you, but two things can be right. One, they got talent and depth, but look who they're going up against in practice. Young kids along that offensive line that have not played. Pete, how difficult from when you scouting another team, when you did that, when you lose four or five starting offensive linemen, how difficult that is to replace. That's really tough.
It is tough. It really is. And as I hear about the team, I don't go over there, Mike. You know, I really don't want to feel them to feel like I'm looking over their shoulder or whatever, you know, especially Kevin and Kyle. And I felt that way about Bo also. But I keep up with them. I follow them, you know, and I read about them and whatever. You know, it seems like, to me, that we got good depth and we got experience everywhere but maybe the offensive line. And it is really, it's a tough job now. It's really a tough job to lose as many as we lost and come back and be where we were a year ago at this time with the offensive line. I mean, we lost some damn good players. So it's going to be a chore. They got a damn good coach. and it's going to be a chore, but I'm sure they will get better and mature as the season goes along.
Too bad you got to play Clemson game one, because man, they got a couple cats in T.J. Parker and Peter Woods. Oh, my
Peter
goodness.
Woods.
I know you know a lot about Peter.
Listen, Peter Woods, they wanted him so bad at Alabama. I mean, he was their number one guy. I remember one day they put me on the – I was working at Alabama and doing my clinic stuff, and they put me on the phone with him, Mike. And they told me, they said, hey, Pete, put your charm on this guy right here now, because he's the best thing since sliced bread. So, yeah, it's difficult. I mean, Clemson is going to be a tough opponent. You know, they are not a Southeastern Conference team, but they should be. And I worked a week there, 3 years ago. I guess it was 3 years ago I worked a week there. And the thing that I did, spending that week with their coaches and watching film, the one thing that I saw that stood out, they play like the hair's on fire. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be a tough opener again for LSU. So, and I've coached it at their Death Valley, they call it. I've coached there, at the University of South Carolina, places other than LSU. They're tough to beat there too. They're like LSU at home. They're tough to beat. So, it's a tough opener, Mike.
You know, Coach, I wanted to ask you if you've, like, it's a lot of new faces in this edge rusher room for LSU specifically. I know you talked about Coach Peoples. They got the right edge coach, but a lot of new guys brought in after you lose Savion Jones, Brandon Swinson to the NFL draft. Both those guys had excellent years last year for LSU's defensive front. But you bring in guys like Jack Pyburn from Florida, Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jamari Butler from Nebraska. Bernard Gooden has been making a lot of plays at camp so far, the USF transfer. I just wanted to know if you were familiar with any of these guys, if you've done any work with them, and if you have, what Tiger fans can expect.
I haven't. I have spoken with Kevin about them, and I kept reading, where we were signing these guys and everything. Now, he's a guy that doesn't get too high or too low, but he's extremely proud of them. And he thinks that they really did a good job getting those guys out of the portal. I think that the thing that's probably different about this team is they had such a great recruiting class, but also they supplemented with the portal. And, I think they built some depth in areas that they really needed to. So I think you can look for some really good edge play. And like we said, they got the coach, and it sounds like they got the players.
Coach, we had Marlon Favorite on last week, and Marlon was talking about, man, when I got there, man, you had to wait your turn. But he said, the crazy thing about that, we rotated 9 to 10 defensive linemen every game. He said, okay, that ain't happened. He said, probably since then. That many really talented defensive linemen. And he was like, okay, we maybe had a little drop-off from the first team, but it wasn't a big drop-off. And he said, at LSU now, like when you were there, you lose a player, it was a Mount Everest drop-off when you play in a young guy who really hadn't played before or hadn't played that position.
Yeah, and it takes depth. To be a championship team, it takes depth now. Because, the defensive line, especially the interior guys where Kyle works, that's a high-risk position. No matter what league you're in or where you are, that is a high-risk position. So the last year I was able to work at LSU was 2023. And, Mike, I had 3 defensive tackles for 2 positions. I had 3 defensive ends for 2 positions. So, I lived in fear that I'd lose one because we had no depth. We were fortunate. We lost Mingo, early, and I only got to coach Mingo in a half of the Missouri game, which was my first game back, and in the bowl game, I got to coach him in the bowl game. We lost him, unfortunately. We lost him very early. And it really put us in a hole. We moved Savion in there just to give us a big defensive end that we could put into a game if we lost another guy. So I'm so happy to hear about that depth that I heard him talking about, young man from LSU talking about that depth. I'm so excited about that. And I knew we were pretty good at the outside position. I'm hoping we got depth, that same quality of depth in the inside position.
Coach, we had on Davin Gottschall, got to talking, and, you know, so I brought up, you know, because you told me so many stories about Davin, and he flipped it right back to me. He said, you know, when Coach Jenkins came in here, you know, he was coaching under Coach O, he said, we didn't maybe hit it off right off the bat, and maybe he thought I wasn't giving him great effort, but he said, you know, by the time it finished, him and I were on the same page, and he said, I wouldn't be where I'm at without Pete Jenkins. I thought that was a great statement by Davin. So your thoughts on what Davin brings to the table? Because in practices, Pete, if they try to run the ball up the middle, pow, Davin, yeah, he stopped that, kind of hit his hands, over with. All well said and done. But he had a bit of a rocky ride. I remember talking to Coach O about it, and you've told me the same story early on, where he was really more of an end than he was today. Now he's playing that nose tackle position. Yeah.
And that's where he belongs. That's who he is. I'll tell you, you know, Ed coached him his sophomore year. And I would ask, Ed would send me the film, Mike, and Ed and I would look at the film. I would be in Florida, and I would have it on my computer. And Ed and I would look at the game film from the previous – this would be on a Sunday. We would look at the game film together, Ed and I would. And I remember asking Ed one day, I said, I don't know this guy, Gottschall. Is he a dumb guy? Is he a guy that doesn't really know how to follow instructions? Or is he just hard-headed? And Ed and I talked about, because he really didn't do what we were asking him to do. But I came in that next year in 2016, and let me tell you, I ain't never coached anybody I enjoyed more than I did him. It just, you know, it just changed our relationship. I don't know, it, you know, it just blossomed, Mike. And you know, by the time the season was done, there wasn't a better defensive lineman in the Southeastern Conference. I tell you, there was a boy working at the Chiefs, and he told me, he was a scout, and he told me that he got up in the meeting and told them, look, you guys are overlooking this guy. If you will show me a better four technique in the United States of America, I'll buy you the biggest steak in Kansas City. He said he had that. He was felt that strongly about him. And to tell you the truth, I did too. I thought it didn't. His success, Mike, in pro ball has not been a surprise to me at all.
Coach, I know you don't do as many kind of here, there, all over as you used to. You and I both ain't getting no younger. But I know you were with the Dolphins. I'll say just me. But I got a new knee, so at least I got something new.
Tell us about you. Now with that new knee.
Well, it won't be now, but maybe down the road. Tell us a little bit about you. You had a run with the Miami Dolphins and also with the Jaguars that you spent some time there with both teams.
Yeah. So this is the third time that I've been hired at the Dolphins. The other two times, Flo was the head coach, and he hired me in 2020 and 2021. And so I hadn't been back there until this year. McDaniels finally gave them the permission to hire me and bring me in and everything. So what I do, Mike, and this is so much fun. I mean, it was just, golly, it was so much fun. I coached 5 days, and we were in the phase of OTAs. You know, the NFL's got they've changed that stuff around. So phase one, phase two, phase three, you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do. Anyways, it was phase three, I believe, which means that it's individual fundamental time. So anyways, I go to Miami and I coach on the field for 5 days. Now, let me tell you, I felt like I was turning the clock back. It was 93 to 95 every day, and the humidity was like Louisiana, like South Louisiana. I mean, when I would leave the field, Mike, I would wring my shirt out. I mean, it looked like I'd been in a dadgum swimming pool. But it was great. I enjoyed it so much. The pay was good. The food was good. They took good care of me, and it was just – I was just blessed to get to do it. Then 2 weeks later, they hired me at the Jaguars. I know the new coordinator there. and we got the Louisiana boy, the assistant D-line coach, Derek LeBlanc, who you probably remember.
I sure do.
Yeah, Derek is from over in Acadiana. And he's done well. He's the assistant D-line coach at Jacksonville. And both he and Matt Edwards, who is the defensive line coach, they both work in Thibodeau. So that was great. I just seen them in Thibodeau, and then all of a sudden I'm down there in Jacksonville. And what was great too, Mike, was I got to spend time with Mason and with Jordan Jefferson, who played here for us, you know. And I've had a pro defensive line camp in Dallas 2 weeks before, and Mason and Jordan both came to the camp in Dallas. And you know, Mike, they did well, boy. Both of them did very, very well. I was really proud of them. Mason is a whole different guy than he was in 2023. He's matured both physically and mentally. I was so impressed with him, and they really got, you know, Jordan played a lot last year. Mason played 5 really good games. The last 5 games, he played really good. So those two guys are doing great. I got a chance to sit down and be with both of them. It was a little different there, Mike. I didn't go on the field. We met from 7:30 to 7, and we sent out for food. So what we did, I mean, we stayed in the meeting room. And the defensive staff was in there, and it was a different deal than Miami hired me to do something different than Jacksonville did. Is what I'm saying. But it was fun too, and I feel blessed that I'm still able to do that, Mike.
I'll never forget in talking to Mason. And he's training for the NFL draft, and he's, you know, asking me a bunch of different questions. And I got more phone calls about Mason than, man, I can ever remember a player. And everybody was intrigued because of the potential. Mason. And so one day I tell him, I said, tell me something about Pete Jenkins. And he was like, Mr. Mike, I got to tell you this. There was only one coach that ever really got on me in college. I said, well, who was it? He said, you just said his name, Pete Jenkins. He said, everybody else was scared that I would transfer if they told me something. He said, ain't nobody told me anything. And so I'm still laughing. It was just his facial expression when he told me, you just said his name, Pete Jenkins.
Yeah. He's great, man. What a great kid he is. You know, and I said to him over in Dallas when we were, you know, so that little camp I have over there is it's 2-a-days. It's a morning practice, which is run, and there's an afternoon practice, which is pass rush. And I said to him, I said, Mace, you know, you look like what I thought you were going to look like down the road. You know, you've gotten bigger, you've gotten stronger, you know, you've matured, your body's matured. And, you know, Mike, that was the reason I wanted him so badly to come back to LSU one more year.
He told me that, too.
You know, the thing he did, see, Bo wouldn't say, I'm coming. Bo would just, he would not definitely commit to taking the job. So Mace asked me, he said, Coach, you know, I've had 7 coaches here. And he said, you know, I don't want to have another bad coach. He said, you know, it can't help me. He said, you know, if you tell me Coach Bo is coming, I'll stay and play another year. And I said, Mace, I can't lie to you. I think he's coming, but I don't know if he's coming. And I couldn't, you know, Mike, I just couldn't lie to him and tell him, he's coming. I felt like Bo was going to come. But he wouldn't say that to me or to Coach Kelly. So anyways, what he looks like right now was what I was hoping he would look like when he came out after the 2024 season. He looks like a different man right now.
Yeah, I agree. Totally, totally. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always love when you come on, man. Great insights and always
thank
super
you,
with us. So thank you so much, Coach.
I always enjoy you guys, too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty. One of one. The legendary Pete Jenkins. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, WWL. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody in a few minutes we'll have on Glenn West, break us down LSU and give us his version of what happened with Garrett Nussmeier. But we want to tell everybody you can now stream this show and all of our WWL Time Shifted podcasts on the free Odyssey app. Tune in and iHeart app. Listen to the shows you love and local content you crave when you want and how you want it on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app. And just to tell everybody, tomorrow we start our weekend kickoff. Steve Geller and I will be at the Treasure Chest Casino every Thursday up until the end of football season. Sports Talk from there will be in the back. If you know where the sports bar is, where the people doing some gambling, I had a couple guys already text me, Mike, I need to pick your brain on something. So, hey, come on down tomorrow and see us at the Treasure Chest Casino, 4 to 7 in Kenner tomorrow night, 420 Deuce McAllister, 5 o'clock or 5:10, I should say, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Waves. It'll be a Tulane Thursday. John Summerall will join us. 5:30, Drew Brees will join us. And at 6:10, the legendary Timmy Brando will be with us. So we got a packed show with us. So, hey, if you're in the Kenner area, come on by and say hello to Steve Geller and I. We'll start this coming Thursday at the Treasure Chest. When we come back, Glenn West will join us talking about LSU football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, he covers the LSU Fighting Tigers, and I hope he didn't get as many texts as I did about 2 hours ago. But we have with us Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Glenn, we talked about it earlier in this show, so give us your version of what you heard happened in practice today and from everybody who covers camp on an everyday basis. Looks as though this is not what at first was put out to be a major knee injury suffered by Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, it sounds like he just went down at practice today and was able to kind of walk off under his own power. Of course, whenever the starting quarterback of your team goes down, there's going to be some initial concern there. But from everything I've heard, is that he's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You know, I don't have this confirmed or anything, but wouldn't be surprised if LSU decides to hold him out for a practice or two just to be extra cautious with him. But sounds like he's okay, and you know, you avoided a scare today. But the rumor mill just really takes off at this time of the year when something like that happens, for sure.
And Glenn, we see it, and I told this to Charlie, it's not just in sports. We see it in weather. Oh, my God. Somebody sent me something yesterday about a major hurricane in the Gulf in, August 12th. I was like, where are you getting this? And he showed me the site. It's one of, 100 different deals of it. I was like, okay, I get it. But we see it in their politics, you name it. There's a little bit of truth to it. But, you know, the wretches stretched the rubber band a little bit on plenty of things. But we have some good people that cover the Tigers on an everyday basis like yourself and able to give us the right information. One guy I want to ask you about, and I don't think we've talked about him, Jelani Watkins. I know one thing, he's fast. I can't tell you if he can play ball or not. So maybe give us a little bit of insights. I've had a couple of different people, friends of mine, ask me about Watkins. And I tell them, hey, I know he's fast. I can't tell you anything else. I haven't seen him on a football field.
Yeah, he's extremely fast, and I think he's got a very bright future in track if that's ultimately the route that he wants to go. But in the meantime, he is still out there on the football field. You know, he's been mainly getting second and third team reps with the wide receiver group. He's been out there participating every day, though, and he's been returning some punts, returning some kickoffs as well. So, you know, he's somebody that I don't think will play above Berrien Brown or Xavion Thomas in the return game, but certainly has that electric speed and potential if he were to be called upon in a special teams role. This wide receiver room is so deep. I think this is probably going to be another year of development for Jelani. Injuries happen, and you know his name could certainly be called upon, and that's not to say that he won't really develop here over the next couple months either and kind of push himself into a role with this team. But right now, I see guys like Berrien Brown, Xavion Thomas, Chris Hilton, Nick Anderson, Kyle Parker, that kind of core group there as the main guys that LSU's focused on at wide receiver right now.
Glenn, I had a good friend of mine who, he loves LSU. Sometimes I wonder if it's LSU first, then family, faith, whatever. It's one of those type of deals, but you get the drift. You got people around you like that too. But he asked me about Bernard Gooden. He said, how come we didn't hear anything about him in the spring? I said, one of the reasons is he wasn't here. He was a late transfer to LSU from South Florida, undersized defensive tackle, and I saw he was listed at 6'2 at South Florida, which I know he ain't 6'2. I think LSU's listed him at 6'1. I'm not sure he's 6'1. But, man, is he quick off the snap. I saw some, you know, tape of him, the way he comes off the ball, and he is hands-reliant. And what I mean by that is, man, he gets his hands on you, and he's up the field in a flash. And he has been a guy that's really been a standout early on for LSU at a critical position in the middle of that defensive line.
Yeah, he's been flat out phenomenal. I think if maybe there's an MVP of the defense through six practices, you'd be hard pressed not to give it to Bernard Gooden just in how quickly he's fit in to the system here. You mentioned just how quick he is off the ball. He comes in with, you know, after a season where he had 10 tackles for loss. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if through six practices he hasn't already had 10 tackles for loss. I mean, he's been that aggressive in the backfield and getting consistent pressure and you know, breaking in and getting some big tackles on running backs and things of that nature. I mean, he pairs really well with Dominic McKinley. He pairs really well with Ahmad Bro or Jacobian Guillory, really whoever you want to throw out there next to him. I think he'll be able to have an impact on this defense. And he's been really good so far for LSU. And this was kind of expected. You know, we were curious what LSU might want to address in that spring portal window. Defensive line and safety were two of the big ones. And they went out there and they got the number three safety in A.J. Halsey in the transfer portal rankings. And Bernard Gooden, a top five defensive tackle in the transfer portal as well. So they you know, killed two birds there with two stones and did a really nice job of bringing in some veteran talent that I think both of those guys are going to slide in and play early and play often for LSU this year.
You know, Glenn, I saw your article earlier today about LSU's offensive line and the defensive line, and everything that we've been hearing from reporters at practice is that the defensive line has been the buzz from camp and that they've looked awesome. They've dominated practice sessions, but also you kind of want it to be more of a 50-50 thing where, because LSU's defensive line is dominating, you're kind of concerned about LSU's offensive line. So I want to get your kind of take on it and have you share it with our audience about, you know, the LSU's offensive line, how they're kind of developing. And then you talked about, obviously, Gooden on the interior alongside someone like Dominic McKinley, but also the edge rushers. I just asked Pete Jenkins about it, a completely new look edge room and how that unit's kind of coming along too.
Yeah, it's a balance for sure, because you don't want to, you know, say for sure that LSU's defensive line is this elite, or you don't want to say for sure that this offensive line is going to be that poor early in the season. I just think it's going to be a situation where this offensive line has to really kind of develop some chemistry here over the next couple weeks, playing together in full pads. Like I've been out there watching individual drills one-on-one with the offensive line and the defensive line. As in the offensive line in particular, the kind of the first five, six, seven, eight guys are capable of winning one-on-one matchups with their, you know, defensive line counterparts. I think it's just when they shift over to that five-on-five where it's their five against the defensive line's four or five, that's where they're having some trouble. And that signals to me that it's still a brand-new group. I mean, you've got guys like Josh Thompson and Braylon Moore who are veteran players but are really being thrust into this first five for the first time this fall next to DJ Chester with Tyree Adams and Weston Davis, who are two first-year starting tackles on either side. So I think it's just going to take some time for the offensive line to come together. I'm not hitting the panic button yet on those guys, but there does need to be some improvement there. And then, you know, with your edge rusher question, I mean, that has been the group that really since the spring has kind of stood out to me. I mean, Jack Pyburn has come in and made an instant impact. Patrick Payton, the Florida State transfer, has really ramped up his pressure off the edge here. And then Gabriel Relaford is another guy, second-year player. He's really transformed his body from even this time a year ago and has been consistently getting into the backfield and creating havoc. And that group is really going to be, I think, at the forefront of what LSU hopes to accomplish. I mean, when you're a defense like the one that Blake Baker wants to have, you've got to create pressure at all levels, and that opens things up for guys like Wick Weeks and Wes Weeks in the, you know, second level of the defense, and it makes, you know, the secondary have a lot of playmaking opportunities at cornerback and safety. So that defensive line is going to set the tone, I think, for this defense, and so far those edge rushers have been a really strong impact group for LSU in fall camp.
Glenn, last question for you, and I guess we'll get it, that if something would happen with Garrett, and I'm not talking about situational play, I think Juwan Johnson may well be kind of LSU's version of Taysom Hill, and different style player altogether, but the fact that he can play quarterback, running back, wide receiver, he certainly brings a lot of versatility to the table. But wouldn't Michael Van Buren be the guy here if something would happen with Garrett?
I think so. You know, he's a guy that has 8 games of SEC experience last year as a true freshman on a really tough Mississippi State season that they had last year. And
yes.
So maybe you kind of, you know, learn and develop through some bad wounds there. But look, if LSU does not have a healthy Garrett Nussmeier, you really have to temper your expectations on what this season is going to be for LSU. But it sounds like he's going to be okay. If you had to give me a choice, though, between the two of Van Buren and Colin Hurley as a guy that would potentially back Nussmeier up if he ever were to get injured, I would probably lean towards Van Buren.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Always enjoy your insights, buddy, and thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Glenn.
All righty. Glenn West does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, and he may be a little bit different from Blake in the fact Blake thinks he might be back on the field come Friday. Glenn's feeling is that maybe Garrett Nussmeier, maybe they might hold him out just precautionary for a couple days, and he'll be back in the lineup practicing for the LSU Tigers. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number 2 of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Pete Jenkins and also Glenn West for joining us. Two great guys that really know their stuff here. At 6:30, Steve Geller, along with Charlie, they'll have on. Man, what a great blocking fullback he was. Lorenzo Neal, now covering the Chargers for the Believe Network, and Gene Clemens, who's fantasy football. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.